In my sermon last week, I mentioned that Disney money helped pay for my seminary education. And I hope perhaps my Disney connections will inspire a bit of compassion and leniency as I violate a few copyright laws by opening my World Communion Sunday sermon with the following song, one of the great earworms of all times, which I hope is helped by the fact that I'm playing a Hawaiian ukulele wearing a Scottish kilt and Geneva tabs. It's a world of hope, laughter, a world of tears. It's a world of hope and a world of fears. There's so much that we share that it's time we're aware. It's a small world after all. 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 It's a small, small world. That song's going to be stuck in your head for a long time now. As many of you know, I was in Northern Italy and Switzerland for a sizable portion of the month of September. And if you ever want to experience the smallness of the world, I suggest you visit Northern Italy and eat the local food. I suggest you visit Northern Italy and eat the local food anyway, but if you want to experience how small the world is, go eat food in Northern Italy. And here's why I say that. A lot of the food that we consider to be really Italian was originally from somewhere else. Yes. Pasta is, you know, the best example of this. Pasta is the most Italian of dishes, right? But it has its origins in China. And the tomatoes used to make the sauce for the pasta come originally from Mexico and Central America. Now, traditionally, pasta with tomato sauce is a Southern Italian thing. And Northern Italians eat a lot of risotto, which is made of rice, which, like pasta, came to Italy from the east coast of Asia. And folks in the north also eat a lot of polenta, which is ground up corn, and the corn, like tomatoes, comes from the Americas. Now, I don't know if I've ever told you this before, but I really love polenta. I actually learned to eat polenta from the descendants of Swiss Italian immigrants in the Salinas Valley, where I served my first church, in the tiny town of Gonzales, which, though small, has great food. Excellent Mexican food, and a tradition of what only can be described as purely Californian cuisine. It has California cuts of meat, usually tri-tip, cooked over an oak fire and basted with Swiss Italian bagna, which comes straight out of Canton Ticino. And then in the winter, there's polenta. Did I mention to you that I like polenta? I have relatives in Italy who live just a couple of miles from the Swiss border. And so when I was visiting them a few weeks ago, we spent a lot of time actually in Canton Ticino, which is the part of Switzerland where they speak Italian. And in fact, one day my cousins Giovanni and Peppino drove me way up into the Swiss Alps in Ticino, deep into a hidden valley, and it's remote. And it's a place where it's several ancient villages are protected as UNESCO World Heritage Sites, mostly because they're so far out of the way that no one ever bothered updating them until being really old suddenly became really cool. And as we drove up into the valley, far, far into the valley, we stopped by a polenta mill that is several hundred years old and still grinding corn. My relatives knew where to stop because they speak my heart's language. And inside the mill, which is tiny, we got to talking to the guy in charge. And my cousins introduced me as their relative from California. And the guy grinding the polenta replied by saying that he also has relatives from California near San Francisco. And that, of course, got us talking a little bit more about Californian geography. So I asked him where near San Francisco. And he said, near Salinas. No kidding, I said. I used to live in this town called Gonzales. Oh, yeah? He looked at me with wide eyes. That's exactly where my relatives live. Everyone in this valley, he assured me, has relatives who now live in the Salinas Valley, most of them in Gonzales and Soledad. Thus, I figured out that I'd gone halfway around the world and had discovered the source of the Salinas Valley Swiss community, in a polenta mill, no less. There is just one moon and one golden sun, and a smile means friendship for everyone. Though the oceans be wide and the mountains divide, it's a small world after all. 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 It's a small, small world. So it's a small world. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. The world, of course, is very small. We are all interconnected. We live in California, but if a hurricane hits and destroys Puerto Rico, it matters to us. And if the federal government's response comes up short, we also are injured because we share the world with Puerto Rico. We pray for Puerto Rico and we wonder how we can help Puerto Rico, just as folks in Puerto Rico prayed for us and donated money and supplies after the Loma Prieta earthquake and after the firestorms of 1991. Further to the east, today has been a big day in Spain where folks in Catalonia are holding a referendum asking if citizens of that area want their region to separate from Spain after centuries of union. What happens in Catalonia matters beyond the Iberian Peninsula, because how Spain responds to the vote and how the international organizations like the United Nations and response to the referendum and how other countries respond to the vote all will have far-ranging implications. For better or for worse, there are any number of regions whose populations are now seeking independence from larger, more powerful countries right now. Kurdistan, for example, and Scotland. Puerto Rico, probably. There's growing independence, indeed, all over the United States, places like Hawaii and Texas and even California. And every one of those places are places where the larger country could respond to independence movements with violence, or not. And the response to what happens in Catalonia today will in many ways set a precedence for what will happen elsewhere in the world. We are all connected in this small, small world. Back in the United States, if some powerful white guy tells African American athletes to shut up and play ball, to be grateful for their large paychecks and to leave their passion for social justice outside the locker room door and to get on with the important work of providing entertainment for other white people, then that affects the rest of us, even if we're not athletes, even if we don't particularly like sports. It affects us because we're all humans. And most of us share a common citizenship with those who protest. Their concerns are our concerns. Their rights and responsibilities are our rights and responsibilities. And that's true for a person like me who agrees with everything, say, Colin Kaepernick is saying and everything teams like the Warriors are doing. But I think it's also true for those who disagree. You know, the right to exercise political self-expression should be valued, and a longing for racial equality and social justice should be universal, even if we may disagree about some of the details of what that looks like and how it should be achieved. We're all connected. It is a small world. And the world's smallness isn't just manifested in common humanity. We share the earth. We must share its resources. I always find it interesting that when Californians talk about water and the use of water as a resource, we like to divide ourselves up into urban and rural users of water, as if we who live in the cities don't eat the arugula Swiss-Italian farmers in the Salinas Valley are growing on their farms using so-called rural water. We're all connected. Or consider that when we drive cars or burn coal for electricity, or mea culpa, fly around the world on airplanes, or mea culpa again, eat meat-intense diets, we are sending carbon into the atmosphere, contributing to global warming. And I'm not a scientist. I should have talked to Cynthia Cutterback before saying this, but as I understand it, the hurricane that hit Puerto Rico does not necessarily fit the model for what a hurricane fueled by global warming should look like. But the hurricane that hit Texas a month ago did fit that model because it was warm and most of its destruction came through rainfall. So it looks like that I drive a car in Oakland and people in Texas pay the price. We are all connected because it's a small world. And because it is a small world, we need to start living like it's a small world. We need to remember that our actions cause reactions in far off places. And those reactions may be good or they may not be good, but we are all connected. What we do matters. Who we are matters. We are connected because, in the words of the psalmist, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, for God hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. This is God's world. And God has made this world our home, not so that we can separate ourselves from one another, gathering unto ourselves as many of the resources as we possibly can, but God has given us this world so that we can learn to love one another in ways that show that we understand that love must not be constrained by national borders or tribal identities. God has given us this world so that we can learn to care for it, exercising stewardship, not of what belongs to us, but rather stewardship that cares for the earth in ways that help us to share the commonwealth of this small planet. So remember, it is a small world, and we need to live like it's a small world. When God's children suffer, we all feel the pain regardless of distance. And when the earth is harmed, it affects everyone, no matter the geography. Remember also that the opposite is true. When something good happens to one of God's precious children, the benefits ripple across oceans and mountains and nations and peoples. And when the earth's soil is nurtured, when its watersheds are preserved, when its air is made clean, then we all experience the benefits. Because, dearly beloved, it is, after all, a small, small world. Amen.